I was kind of taken back, actually, by Eric's characterization of all the events that they had no, felt like they had no apology or anything to make, you know.
Yeah.
And it stems from, well, let me back to that. Nathaniel will probably, I shouldn't say probably, not ever, but not ever go back to Chris's house. Because of all this.
Is that where the small group meets?
Yeah. And all the things was said about Shelley through emails from her daughters and sharing that with people, the small group. Not all the people, but it was enough that it's got back to Nathaniel. And that's when all the stuff started about Shelley maybe not being sick and all the different things. And so, in my opinion, you know, they can say, you know, people can say, well, they were calling about somebody else, but it had started 3 or 4 weeks prior to all that, and thinking that she wasn't sick, so they were going to prove it. And oh, that's my take on it. And so you can imagine how Nathaniel feels, even though, I mean, you know, Eric, not Eric, Steve, you know, brought up the point that, well, Nathaniel and Shelley's married, still married, and all that, you know, and you know, the way I look at it, we would take somebody off the street, off in the pantry, and treat them better than what they were treated. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Chris, and he says he don't want to be involved in it, but he is involved mm-hmm. in it mm-hmm. because he talked to Nathaniel. Nathaniel says, Chris, tell me, you know, why? Why do y'all hate her so much and mm-hmm. dislike her so much? And so he went through some stuff, and it just devastated. Nathaniel thinks it's, you know, mischaracterization mm-hmm. of everything, and that everything that Shelley has done over the last 2 years, they have criticized and thought that, you know, she's a bad mother, that they compared her to the lady in Oklahoma that, you know, was taking money and all this stuff. So it's just a lot of different things. And so Nathaniel will, I'm not sure he'll ever come back here. You know. I met with him Sunday after church and had lunch with him. Just Kathy and I met with him. And he was just beside himself, thinking that, you know, a church, a group of people would treat people that badly and say the things and cause it to happen. And so so I'm just, I'm hurt and don't know what to do and how, I can't fix it. You know, God has got to be involved in all this and know how to communicate and all this, you know. And I'm not sure, you know, as the elders, I mean, what can we do? And the other thing, you know, for Eric to write a letter to Shelley saying that she's no longer, you know, part of the small group, that would be the worst thing that he could do.
How do you, I wanted the group to communicate to Shelley if that's what they're going to do and she's not welcome in that home. I thought that's important to communicate. And so,
but she already knows that.
No, she told us she wants to go back to the group. I thought that's what I heard on Sunday morning when she met with us.
Well, maybe then.
Like to be part of the group, like to be
now,
part of the church.
They, I mean, there that would be a miracle to me that they ever would ever want to go back there.
So how do you think she got that those dynamics of that communication I'm very sensitive to, because that's either healthy or not, and right. we're trying to foster more communication. Sure. So how do you think she got that word, that message?
Got that word probably from Chris talking to Nathaniel, telling him the reasons why they don't okay. like her or don't, you know.
Okay.
And so so Chris and Nathaniel are not, you know, Chris probably thinks everything is fine, but Nathaniel mm-hmm. sees it totally different, you know. Okay. And it's just, it's sad, you know, that how can this happen?
So, Keaton, I don't know if this helps any, and I'm trying to be empathetic as well to, okay, how, you know, these are good people in this small group that we're glad are part of the body. And so I think if you have a married woman dating someone you love, your radar is up. And that's going to bring on some scrutiny. And the way they handled it, there's plenty of fault there. So I'm not defending that. Uh-huh. But just, you know, how do you even get here, you know?
Yeah.
And so if that was their motive to try to learn more about this woman, you know, that terminology, you know, I can't fault that. They love Nathaniel. They want to have his back. But it hasn't played out well at all or healthy yeah. at all. So full acknowledgement there.
Uh-huh.
But I want to at least assume those right initial motives as opposed to some other, you know, I don't know what else. So I'm trying to make sense of it. So I'll just share you that.
What I got out of it, we're in the midst of a situation that, like you said, has been handled wrongly. I mean, I think, and things have been done that should not have been done. I just felt like Sunday morning, and I think Brad said it best there at the end, that, you know, what would Jesus do? And I don't feel like anything that happened Sunday morning was what Jesus would have done. I don't think writing letters or writing off people or walking away from a situation is what, I mean, there is conflict between people who profess to be Christians and it's unresolved. And for Eric to just say he's done with it, I don't think that's the answer. And I don't clearly have an answer necessarily, but you know, I just don't think that Jesus would be happy the way that sits right now, you know. And yeah, and I don't know how you get to the point where it would be, you know, there'd have to be mature Christian adults who are willing to sit down, hear hard things
yeah.
and respond in a loving, Christ-like way, you know, and I don't know who's ready to do that. Yeah. And I think they're trying to call a meeting with all of them. I don't think we'll get it, but I don't know that is going to happen, you know. Yeah. And I'm with Keaton. I think the hurt, particularly for Nathaniel, and just it's hard to reconcile. It really is hard to reconcile. How could this really happen, you know? And we don't know, and we've acknowledged, we don't know all things and all facts, and right. but, you know, we know that these are people, as you said, profess to be followers of Christ, and it's just a mess right now. You know, it's just...
How did Cain go out in the field and kill his brother? It's original sin. That's what we're dealing with. I can just see Satan stirring the pot. And here you got the mother of our youth minister involved in something that, you know, I could just see this spreading and just, you know, blowing up and getting out to other people. And like you, I'm, you know, sitting here going, I was curious, I didn't catch up on the emails today, I was totally absorbed. Is Steve Autry still willing to try to meet with them?
Yeah, he doesn't really conclude. Go ahead and have a read there. He summarizes what he sees as the main issues that are not dealt with. He doesn't have a clear path on how to deal with them.
I ran into him in the men's room on Sunday morning. I said, "You still willing to do this?" And he just rolled his eyes and he kind of shook his head. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I kind of had the feeling that, you know, if he can't.
Yeah, I don't know how I would do it. I hate to ask him or expect him right. to do something that I would be at a loss how to best do. So I hear that.
Well, maybe this is my legal brain going off, but, you know, again, Mindy is not a member.
Right.
And as much as, you know, I would tell all these parties that we all want you to come here, you know, that's the whole idea, that we want to be a body. But, you know, if Ben and Mindy wanted to place membership, we'd have to have a long talk about some of this stuff, but without their telling us they're interested in that, I think we can't touch it. You know, I think that it just.
So if I had a neighbor, doesn't even go to church with me, but we're both believers, and I want to encourage him to do the right thing, it's not from a position of authority, but it's from a position of love. And so if that's an approach we can take with Mindy, not a member, but can't we encourage her to do the right thing, what feels like needs to be healthy and done.
And what is that right thing?
Acknowledging to Shelley the real nature of her wrong. She apologized for something she didn't really do. She did something far worse. And just owning that, I think, would be healing and good for Mindy, you know. And so that would be healthy to encourage.
Yeah.
And Carrie, you know, has eavesdropped and shared emails, texts, and that would just be good to say, hey, it could have been handled better kind of thing. And they both need to hear that's a legitimate diagnosis, because word will spread from there. Eric now knows it. I think if Chris knew that, and those two parties knew that, that's part of just, hey, you need to know the truth as you make decisions going forward. We can encourage that. So
what we know is,
try to keep boiling it down.
Right.
To,
we have proof of diagnosis, but not of treatment. So I don't know that we can say that, but we do have proof of diagnosis.
And so you're sensitive to that,
right?
Because, I mean, does that make a difference if you think Shelley might be lying about getting
treatments?
No,
I'm just saying,
and that's why she might have a.
In some of the statements, we just say that we have proof of diagnosis and treatment, but we don't. And so I don't know that I could say that. And so, you know, if somebody says she looks good for being treated, it's like, well, I don't have any reason to not believe her, but I don't have proof that she has. Okay. And so I couldn't go that far.
Okay. So if Steve agrees to meet with those three parties, I'm wondering if it would be beneficial to maybe do some preliminary things with a couple of them, because if we are looking to ask Mindy to take this huge leap and make that confession in that meeting, it might be pretty intimidating to do that, right? But if we can maybe prepare her to one of the things that we're going to be talking about, so she can be processing that rather than having, you know, laying it on her you know, when those three couples are there, that would be difficult for her maybe to make up all that ground that she's kind of given, you know, put in front of her to come to make that decision to make an apology. But so there might be some benefit to meeting with Mindy, you know, ahead of the meeting and just lay some groundwork. And if she chooses not to come to that meeting, that'll be fine. The loving kind of thing you talked about, right? That, you know, then we can invite her to the meeting with the three. And if she chooses to come, great. She knows the expectation once she gets there. If she chooses not to come, okay, that's fine too. You know, but we prepare her and lay some groundwork with expectation. And so that might be something to think about, to see if that might be an approach to take to help prepare the groundwork for her.
On that, how would you counsel Mindy? So Mindy, you were going to go into a room and admit to a felony. And Shelley's father has already said she's committed a felony, she don't want to sue her. You know, to me, I would say, Mindy, don't ever say this in a group of people, especially people that have already said they want to sue you. And so I mean, she needs to say it, but I don't know how you would get her to say it. I mean, that just... because then we can't say, yeah, everybody here knows you committed a felony. And if Shelley's dad says, yeah, we do want to sue, I'm not saying that we don't, but I'm just saying, I would say, you know, Mindy, you need to talk to Shelley. And I wouldn't, I don't know how, or maybe just say, you have some wrongs to admit to, but I mean, you're the counselor. Tell me what you would advise.
Well,
if she was your client.
I would counsel the church to say that, you know, until somebody says they want to be a member,
right,
we have no jurisdiction to do anything with somebody who's not a member. That's the safest way to react to this, you know. Now, are we called to always do the safest things?
Right.
But on the other hand, I'd hate to see the church, like in Oklahoma, got hit with, I think, a six-figure,
Right. Well, I'm just thinking, for Mindy, what would you tell Mindy if she was your client? Not that the church was your client, but that Mindy was your client.
I don't do criminal work, but...
Yeah.
That's all. I don't do that stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking, is there a way we could say to... To me, you have to address both sides of the coin. I mean, we need to say... to Nathaniel, you don't need to be in a relationship with a married woman. And, you know, that's pretty basic. You can be friends, but, you know, if you're doing what I think they're doing, acting as if they were married, they need to not do that. It's kind of what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery. You know, go and sin no more. That's all I would, you know, recommend. And we want you to be here at church, and I want them to know that they're welcome. And we would greet them and with open arms and, you know, try to support them. We're going to have to learn how to deal with broken people. That's, you know. And I think with Carrie and actually with probably... I think Eric, they are people that we can shepherd and I think talk to, and I think they both need to hear from us that they too need to open their hearts to allow others to come in. Last thing I want to do is get Eric ticked off and lose our, you know. That's why I said this is so loaded with tripwires, and I can just see Satan sitting there going, ha ha ha, you know, we're going to blow this up out of proportion and, you know, in the process create another split and people leaving and everything else. That's what I'm most concerned with.
Yeah, so a couple thoughts. One is, like Keaton said, you know, what are we going to do? You know, what can we do? You know, is there anything that we can do that would make this better? And I don't know what that would be at this point. And the other is like on the Eric McPherson question. And I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but I can understand part of his position. So, like for me, like Jason and Patty Lacoste-Arnold, the state took away their children. And I can't pretend when I'm with them that that doesn't bother me or that's all right. And if the situation is, Eric, you pretend that this is okay, you know, to make her feel better. It's like, well, I, you know, I couldn't do that with Jason and Patty. And, you know, I don't know that it's Jason or that Eric has to ignore what bothers him. You know, if he feels that there's something wrong with Shelley, you know, but they do need to be able to talk it out and not hold grudges. Now, like is written in here, there was a lot of deceit, and I don't know that, I think Eric, I don't know if he encouraged like the open phone call when it was, you know, put on speakerphone and things like that, but, you know, that really bothers me. But I don't know, again, if I were in Eric's position and this were me and Jason and Patty Lacoste-Arnold, you know, what I would do, because, yeah, I can't pretend that I agree with what they've done or that that was okay. So, I don't know that there are times when, like, Grey Rock, it's like, listen, you know, if you don't bring it up, I'm not going to bring it up, but I can't agree with that situation.
I think of the Bradley situation.
Right.
You know, here we have one of our members' children assaulted by Bradley in the church building. And my initial reaction was he should never set foot in the building. And,
right.
You know, initially was my thought. You know, here we have a minister's child, you know, being abused.
Right.
I think I've learned that, you know, we have to be able to meet people where we can. And so we built some walls around something to allow him to at least participate, but not in everything. And I think that was very much needed, and so far, so good. And I think God appreciates that, you know, from the standpoint of trying to work within a framework of helping someone, you know, maintain that relationship.
But would you have ever asked the minister to apologize to Bradley if he ever had bad feelings towards him?
No.
I mean, it's an extreme, but that's kind of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And
so that's, I'm agreeing with you.
Right.
I think there's some things that are maybe left better unsaid to allow that person to have time to come to a different conclusion. I came to a different conclusion, but I also, I remember I was put into a group with Ron Burge and Bradley and Carol. That was the initial group that I was supposed to be dealing with. And I'm sitting there like, how do I tell, like, you know, a young couple who has minor children, oh, come to our group because, you know, we have, you know, it doesn't work. And, you know, I finally just said, you know, I'm sorry, I can't make this work. Between Ron's situation and Bradley, I just so that's why I pulled back from it. Maybe I'm wrong in that, but you know, I just didn't see how in the world that you could invite people into that kind of small group without them knowing what was there. And as soon as they know what's there, you know, that's not going to be something that people want to attend.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good situation. I just don't know how to move forward. I just don't.
Well, I think you say you love both sides, and we want them to be able to come here and worship together, and hopefully over time they can find a way to build a bridge and that all people are welcome.
I heard Shelley say pretty strongly that she wanted to restore her reputation, that she felt like maybe what we need to do is concentrate on helping her see that her reputation is not based solely on this situation. You know, I mean, I try to tell her we deal with things all the time where there's the voices of few, unfortunately, get louder than the many. And I said, I think she had this picture that the whole church was aware of this, and you know, and help. Again, helping her see that even if she never gets an apology, that she has worth in this body and is loved by this body. And I think I just felt like that she was not going to be satisfied unless she got a very clear, maybe even public.
So with that, one thing we might be able to do is, you know, Don, if you'd be willing to look at the EOBs for Shelley and say, okay, you know, she's had treatment, she's better, she's in the middle of treatment. So then we'll know, okay, what the status is. And then, like we do every Sunday, we want to pray for Shelley. You either praise God, she's been treated and she's better, or, you know, she's in the middle of treatment, we want to pray for her. And just recognize her that way to say, yeah, as elders, we affirm this is going on. We are aware of that she's treated, and we're praying for her. And we can acknowledge her that way like we do other people. So that might be something. And that would be public, and we could say, yeah, we've looked at the records. Well, I mean, we don't have to say that, but we would have looked at the records, and we'd know where she is with her treatment. So that's something.
I think I like that suggestion, but before that public prayer happens, I'd like to advocate that it would make sense to talk to Carrie and Mindy and Chris so they hear from us that we've seen the documentation, it's a legitimate diagnosis.
Right.
And we will be praying for her as a body, and that's why. So they're not hearing like, oh, they're duped too, or things fester more.
Well, I do want Don to look at the EOBs, or somebody to look at the EOBs.
So, and that way, and really one of the things Shelley asked for is a clearer name, and those were the main, you know, the word can spread from there. But those are the four. We've already done that with Eric. I think if we do it with those other three.
And I heard him say that he's done with the cancer thing. He doesn't. It's not an issue anymore. So, if they say that, then there's still an issue. I mean, there's still something. It may not be the cancer. They would probably all say now, okay, we believe she has cancer. And but there's still an issue. Mm-hmm. I'm not really clear what that issue is, other than I heard Eric say very clearly, he doesn't like Shelley, and he's not going to associate with her anymore, and thinks she's a narcissist, and pretty strong things, you know, that, again, just to be able to say that, and but that bothers me, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Shelley may have issues or problems or anything, but again, just to say that and say, I'm not going to have anything to do with them.
Well, he did say that he had no problem with if she wanted to come here at church. He just didn't want to be, you know, associated with
her. I don't know. It's just that spirit or that heart or that it's something. Again, it grates me to hear. It grates me to hear anybody to say that. You know, that's
to me, you know, for someone to say, "Well, I don't want to ever want you back in our small group." I can't even imagine saying that. I mean, that, you know, you're not welcome, because, you know, we have people coming in off the street, and we pray with them and want them to be here and try to encourage and everything. And it's just mind-boggling to me that how can you get to that point where just wash your hands and say, you're out of here. I mean, that's just I don't think that's any way of handling any situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Keaton, let me give you an example that helps me, okay? Bradley is one, I think. There's a small group that he didn't, shouldn't have participated in. That's a proper limit. Another one would be if we had an ex-husband and ex-wife both still attending, whether they're remarried or not, they're both members here. And one of them's in a small group, and the ex would like to come, and the one who's in the group says, well, I'm going to have to go to another one. I'm too hurt. We would understand that.
Yeah.
And you know, and so, you know, there can be, hey, we can, brother, sister in Christ, but I'm too hurt to, you know, do that. And I think we'd understand it. And so I think Eric has come to the conclusion that she's, you know, up to no good, and he can't go there in a small group, but he can be there Sunday morning, you know, and his opinion might change over time as we pray for her as a body, and he sees her interacting and you know, loving people and people accepting her. That could be healing, but I guess I'm looking for an analogy there, because I respect Eric's opinion and, you know, want to not just, well, he's flawed there and kind of write that off. I mean, you know, I think he's dealing with the reality of the way Shelley talked to her children, texts and verbally, that was overheard, that must have been, we don't know a lot about that, but that must have been really ugly. And that's part of his conclusion about, boy, there's a surface Shelley and there's another Shelley he hasn't figured out yet, and he's labeling it. So I give her the benefit of the doubt, I'm okay with, but I'm trying to make sense of that. And so that analogy helps me where...
Or after 6:30.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, so a couple direct questions. Maybe we can answer, maybe we can't. Do I need to contact Eric and say, hey, that was a bad idea for me to suggest you needed to communicate to Shelley directly? You're not welcome in our group. So I need to contact him, and if he hasn't sent that yet, that ought to be stopped, because not a good idea.
I don't think it's a good idea at all.
You guys feel like, okay, I will do that.
Yeah.
Can we approach Carrie, Mindy, and Chris and say, hey, we've confirmed her diagnosis? And that's the gist of the doubt. We've already done that with Eric. Can we do it with those three small group members so that they know where we're coming from in praying for her publicly and keeping her on the list? Can we do that? Does that seem appropriate?
It seems appropriate.
I think you can do it with Eric and
Carrie,
but I would leave Mindy out of that.
Okay. Let them communicate. The small group will communicate to her. What we're trying to do, because I, you know, it'll permeate from Chris, and he'll tell his wife, and, you know, those kind of things. So that makes sense.
I'm just worried about, you know, Chris and Nathaniel's situation. You know, we bring Chris in, and I think, you know, I told him, and so
I think... You told Chris already about her diagnosis?
Yeah.
Okay. So and, he's heard that, and...
He's heard it, and I think that, I think they understand that.
Okay, so that's been done there, because I think he's a major player in getting, you know...
And really, I think... At this point, even Mindy and Carrie and all of them are saying, I'm not going to go there anymore because of all the problems has caused, you know, from all this. And I think if Eric had heard, you know, if he got that that understanding on Sunday, he will tell them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's the cancer issue anymore. I think it's a dislike of Shelley.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
I'm just thinking of the anchor things that are those loose ends. And if you don't think those are loose ends, then that's good.
But like you said, what you thought Shelley was looking for, though, is validation of her illness. And so we could at least tell Shelley.
Validation of her
character.
Character.
Okay. Yeah, that's
awkward.
Yeah, that we can't do. Yeah.
Well, her behavior in Neatez and the way she spoke to her kids, that's hers to resolve.
Yeah.
We could look at it that way. I mean, you know, that we can't just turn a blind eye to those realities.
Right.
I don't think they're making that up. They have experienced that
right.
direct from Shelley, and that's not unfair to characterize it that way.
Yeah.
You just don't want members to write off somebody because they've blown it an occasion or two, you know.
How many times do I have to?
77.
Yeah.
I think that one's for sure. I also remember, I think Peter wrote, don't ask me which book, but said if you can't love your brother or your sister, you're not in the way. And this is what I'm seeing, is that we got some people that got a really hard position that is not Christ-like. Maybe giving them time to reflect on that. It took me a while to say, okay, Bradley can be part of, you know, this body, and we're dealing with people. I don't know if they can hear that right now. I think everybody's hurt.
Okay.
I would love for Chris to, reapproach his brother, and I think if you can give them time, hopefully that would, you know, mellow out. I would think.
I hope and I pray.
Yeah.
I think they need to hear something from us. I'm not sure what that something is, being silent as the shepherds in a situation like this just doesn't seem the appropriate thing to do. And it doesn't have to be, and I see this as not a one and done thing. You know, we won't sit down with somebody and it'd be resolved. You know, I think even wherever that decision is, when we decide, if we decide to sit down with someone, I think we try to figure out what next steps look like and stay involved with them through the process. And so.
Who's up on Sunday?
Pardon me?
Who's up on Sunday? Anybody know?
I don't know.
That's a problem.
So I think we got to intervene in some way. I'm not sure what that way is, to be honest with you. But I don't think we can sit on the sidelines, because there's too much collateral damage that can happen.
We
sit on the sidelines.
Made an announcement to the church that, you know, we've been dealing with issues and we need people to learn how to love their neighbors as themselves, and without mentioning any names, or, you know, just, I was thinking closing elder, you know, could do something. Just to, I think it would land on ears to say we're not, you know, ignoring things. That sometimes we know it's difficult. And
yeah, that can cause a little confusion.
What if we, I mean, it seems like maybe we have a little unfinished business with Shelley. In that, maybe would it make sense to sit with Shelley and maybe Nathaniel and just say, look, we think the cancer thing, everybody is done with that. But in the process of this, other things have surfaced about some anger around how maybe it's perceived you treat your daughters or talk to your daughters, or the incident at camp was maybe not handled correctly, and get her response on that and say that, you know, And assure again that I don't think this has gotten to be a congregation-wide issue where the congregation is thinking she is, you know, horrible or something. But to let her know that maybe the cancer thing is done, but I don't know, to acknowledge that maybe there's these other things that we really haven't heard her address.
I think she was trying to address it, you know, when there that morning, saying that, hey, I made some mistakes in with the kids, and she's trying to work on those in those areas. Mm-hmm. And I know she's leaving tomorrow, going to down to Tennessee with her four kids, with her her sister and everything, and spending it's. I think Wednesday is, some kind of a break for the kids. And so going to spend until Monday or Tuesday just spending time with your kids and stuff. So I know that that's in the plan, you know.
Good.
And so you wouldn't be able to get to her till after then, you know.
Okay. Well, gives us more time to try to figure it out. I think we've got to go with him, because Elizabeth's got to probably yard stuff for us to do.
Let me lead us in a prayer. Father, thank you for a little extra time together tonight, and we continue to ask for your guidance and your wisdom and your eyes. Help us encourage love in your name, and go in the extra mile and turning the other cheek. All those very real lessons that you've taught us, and help us promote that and figure out the best way to do that with all the players that we've been talking about. Bless Shelley in her recovery and treatments and all of that. And we ask your blessing on the small group as they, try to need to love and move beyond where they're hurt and see where they've hurt someone, and help us promote those right things in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.